Hi, this is Toby Clark from Walking Ibiza, and welcome to Tales from the Walking Trails podcast number one.
So we're sitting here in the beautiful surrounding of Benaras Beach, which I'm gathering is probably one of the points that you passed as you did your very first walk around the island. Where did this all begin? I mean, it's kind of the reason, I guess, that you set up your company, which is obviously Walking Ibiza. Tell us how it all began.
It started as so many wonderful things do in this world over a cold beer with a friend. I sat there with a friend called Tristan, and he said to me, one thing I've always wanted to do is to walk around the coastline of Ibiza. And as soon as he said it, I got this massive rushing energy through my body, and I knew at that point that I was going to do it.
So this is called, nowadays the modern people call it Atlantis.
So we went our separate ways after a beer.
99.9% certain it's actually not Atlantis.
And it just wouldn't leave my mind, so I started looking into it, seeing if it was possible.
Just because it looks like an old ruin of buildings and shapes and that, but people think it's a city and it sort of goes into the sea. So that's why modern day people call it Atlantis. What they've worked out is that it's an ancient quarry from the times of the Phoenicians. The Phoenicians are the first people on Ibiza in 653 BC.
And I started looking online for walking around Ibiza, walking around the coastline of Ibiza, but nothing existed. So I realised if I was going to do it, I was basically just going to do it blind, with no maps, no previous person that I could find has done it before. And it was actually just before the wonderful Healing Ibiza Day coming up in October 3 years ago. And I decided to leave on the Monday after Healing Ibiza Day. It just felt very fitting that that's what I'd do. So I decided to take my backpack with me, just a 10-kilo backpack, pack my tent in it, and everything I needed. And I was getting ready to go, and Belinda, my wife, was thinking I was a bit crazy and I'd lost it. But it's just something I really wanted to do. And I went to have another cold beer with Tristan about a week later and said, hey, Tristan, your idea of walking around the coastline, I'm going to do it. And he looked at me all bright-eyed and excited and said, great, when are we going? And I said, I actually want to do it alone. And he looked at me rather disappointed because it was almost his idea and I'd taken it. So what we decided to do is both head off at the same time but head in different directions. So on the morning in question, we both got driven by friends, or me by Belinda, to Ibiza Port and stood back-to-back and said, right, we'll pass at some point walking around the island.
What you gonna do? What you gonna do with people like that? What you gonna say? What you gonna say that'll make them change their ways? Who you gonna find? Who you gonna find to listen anyway? And where you gonna go? Where you gonna go to try and get it straight? I once found a recipe for what to do to cure my needs. I packed some things to do what I need. Only bare necessities. Ask Mrs. Walsh, feed the cat, call and or take. Tell him that I'm going home where my people live. Need a little bit of happiness, yeah.
Yeah, so the night before when I was packing my bag, I was packing all the things I thought I might need in it. And my bag was weighing about 10 to 12 kilo. So it's quite a bit of weight, but I thought that's all right to carry it. And anyone who's done backpacking knows sort of 10, 12, 15 kilo is about the maximum you want to carry. So I then started thinking, well, what sort of money do I need to take with me? Do I need to take credit cards, or how am I going to buy things along the way? Because along the coastline, there's not so many supermarkets and things like that, but a lot of beach bars. So I thought, well, I better take some cash with me as well. But then I had another strange feeling come through me, and I ended up opening up the drawer and throwing all my credit cards and all the money I was going to take back into the drawer. But as I did that, €1 rolled back out of the drawer. And I thought, I'm supposed to just do the island walk on €1.
Need a little bit of happiness, yeah.
So I actually just picked up that €1, didn't really know quite what I was going to do, but I thought, I've just got to walk around the island with €1. So I set off. And Belinda, being a bit more sensible than me at some points, said, I think you should take enough food and water for 24 hours. So I took a couple of sandwiches and things for 24 hours and the symbolic €1 with me. And I also took my wonderful dog Cosmo, who was 9 months old at the time. So Cosmo also needed food for 24 hours. So we decided if it's going to be me surviving on €1, so should Cosmo. It became more like what I was calling a vision quest. You know, they do these sorts of things very shamanically, where you go off in a vision quest and have to survive the elements for so many days, and when you come back you're reborn and your life takes on a direction. You learn lots of lessons from doing it. So it very much felt like it was just meant to be. And because I was born on Ibiza, I have a very strong connection with Ibiza. It just felt like it was my time to come back. I'd only moved back a year previous to that full time. So I'd been living in England after I'd moved away from here when I was 10 years old. And I'd done all the sort of corporations, that stuff. I'd run companies and had the big car, the big house, and decided to give it all back to come back to my home. So it felt very fitting that within a year of moving back, the island, the spirit, whatever you want to call it, had guided me to do this walk. And it just felt very fitting that also it should be without money.
Hello, I'm Till.
And how have you found today's walk to Atlantis?
Oh, just amazing. I've never been here before. And it's such a stunning place. And yeah, it's just beautiful to come here with beautiful people on this amazing landscape and lovely dogs around. So you bring your own food. Just great.
I mean, do you think you would have found this place if you'd come down here on your own?
It would have probably taken much longer and I would have ended somewhere else.
How did you fare without any finance in your back pocket?
Unbelievably well. So I set off and sat down for my first lunch in the late afternoon on the first day, and I'd taken 3 litres of water with me to survive me through the day. And I thought, right, I'm only going to ask for food and water if I need it. I'm not going to stockpile it, for two reasons. It didn't feel right to do that, but also I couldn't carry it. And I actually survived right the way through to the evening, and I set up camp next to a wonderful restaurant around Captus Falco. And I thought, okay, I've now got to go and see if my theory works. So I went up to the restaurant, and luckily they were having their closing staff party. So I went in and described what I was doing, and the manager said, well, he didn't know what to do, but he went and got the chef, and this typical looking chef came out the kitchen in his dirty white smock and everything, and came up to me, and I had a chat with him, and he just turned around and walked away. And I thought, well, does that mean he's going to give me something or not? And then he came back with this huge tinfoil tray, absolutely stuffed with food, with lasagna, roast potatoes, a massive stack of salami, which he said was for Cosmo, and everything that I needed. And I just thought at that point, wow, if this guy's giving me this much, I'm going to be okay. Then a strange thing happened. I've actually run out of food altogether because I was walking along the west coast, and there weren't many beach bars along there. But I passed a few, and people were giving me either just a bottle of water and some bit of stale cake or something. It was the worst thing to having a lot of nice food given to me, but it was working. But then I ran out of food one night, and I'd walked a long way where there weren't any restaurants or anything. And I woke up in the morning, and Cosmo gave me that look of, what the effing hell are we doing? You know, what a great look the puppy can give. And I thought, yeah, what am I doing? And I was thirsty, I was hungry, I was freezing cold because the temperature dropped really cold that night. And I'd slept in the wrong place, right on a beach. So all the dew had come down and the moisture had come in from the sea, and it was really, really cold and hadn't slept well. So I was sort of thinking, oh, maybe I'm just being stupid, and let's call Belinda and we'll jack it in. But there was no phone signal on the beach. So I packed all my tent up and thought, right, let's just carry on walking, and got to the top of a little hill, and the sun hit me, so that started warming me up, which was really nice. And I started walking across this wasteland, and suddenly got this huge feeling, or the same rush I'd got when I knew I was going to walk around the island, through my heart. And then I got this, I don't know, whatever you want to call it, download or word came to me, and the word was trust. And it came so strong, I've never had the feeling before. So I thought, my God, I've got to listen to this, whether it's an old goddess of Ibiza giving me this thought, or whatever you believe in, but this thought came to me, and this feeling came to me. So I thought, okay, I'm going to trust. And then I started walking again, and I'm not joking, within 5 minutes, this guy came across this wasteland past me, and got about 10 metres past me, and all in Spanish turned around and said, you're that guy walking around the island, aren't you? And I turned around and sort of said, yeah, I am. Thinking what a stupid guy I am for doing it, because here I am not really enjoying it. And he said, you must be starving. What have you eaten today? And I said, well, nothing. And what have you drank? And I said, well, I've run out of water. And he got his bag, and he was on his way to work. So he got his lunch out, and he gave me all of his lunch and all of his water. And after that, I walked off thanking him, and I thought, wow, trust. If you trust on Ibiza, it provides for you.
Single lights, dust go dashing the highway. Nothing's moving, radiates. Everything lasting for seconds. Evaporating lovers' lips, drinking late at the station. Smiling faces, coming clean. Wiping your face and whatever.
Are there moments when you want to walk these days where that kind of feeling comes back and strikes again?
Yeah, loads. Especially sometimes if I take groups out and take groups from a boot camp or something, and they're on their last bits of energy and afraid of someone tripping or something, and I just go, no, trust, and everything will be all right. And it does work. It really does work. And I tell that to people now. If you're here and you trust, everything seems to work.
I guess when you're walking around the coastline, trusting it is fairly simple to a degree, because obviously there's only really one way to go in some ways. But it's not that easy to get around the parameters of the island, is it, in some parts?
No, some parts are really, really difficult. And in fact, the part we're looking at in front of us now, sat on Benyras Beach, was very difficult to come over the hill in front of us. There's no real marked paths, and you've just got to trust where you're going. So many unbelievable places that I walked, and I had to make a bit of a rule at the beginning. I tried to break through virgin forest at the beginning to make a new path, but with a backpack on, it was just too much work and danger. I started taking very small, very finely marked paths, and some of those I felt like hadn't been walked on for a long, long time. So sort of breaking through and opening up paths that had been closed down before. And that felt really amazing, to be opening up where fishermen had walked between villages for centuries before, but no one had maybe walked it in the last years or so. It was really an amazing feeling. Very meditative, doing the walking as well. Very just, you know, footstep after footstep, day after day after day. It really put me into a great space. Really amazing.
You didn't take a pedometer with you?
No, I didn't.
I just wondered how many steps it was to get around the island.
The actual, if you could follow the coastline exactly, it's 174 kilometres. But as I walked it, and I roughly mapped it out afterwards, I did about 220. It took me 11 days from when I left the port to when I got back to the port.
And obviously you must have met some fascinating characters along the way.
I actually didn't meet that many people. On one occasion, I'm still convinced today that I met a ghost, which was actually on my first night walking between Salinas and Captus Falco. And I got absolutely, totally lost. This was when I made this rule that I wouldn't break through forests, because I'd broken through this virgin forest and didn't know where I was ending up. I was getting covered in big spider's webs and in tall grass and everything. It was just an absolute nightmare. This was on my first day. And I'm just thinking, again, what am I doing this for? But it felt, at that point, I was still very enthusiastic about it. And we came down into this valley, and I then picked up this really strange trail there that's all marked by stones. So someone has lived there at some point, or someone's got some story of being there, because there's all lovely paths marked out, all symbols marked out in the ground in this hidden valley up in Captus Falco. I was following this path, and Cosmo wasn't on a lead, obviously. He was just being free to follow me. And I suddenly saw this guy ahead of me, and I thought, what the hell is this guy doing in the middle of absolute nowhere? There was nothing. You couldn't see the sea. It was in this little hidden valley. And suddenly this guy's there, and I went to walk by him. I went to say hello to him, and he just stood back from the path and stared blankly ahead and didn't do anything. So I walked past him just thinking, okay, yeah. Then Cosmo started barking like absolute crazy, and he wouldn't come by this person, whatever it was. So after 5 minutes, I had to backtrack, walk by the guy again, and he was just like staring blankly into nothing.
He had a face though.
I remember he had a face, but it was very blank and nondescript. And I then had to put Cosmo on the lead, and I had to drag Cosmo by this guy, person, whatever you want to say it is. And Cosmo just really was not happy at all. So I got past him again, and then carried on wandering, just thinking, okay, strange guy, people live in the middle of nowhere. And then it was actually that evening that it dawned on me that I don't think he was from this planet. He was moving on somewhere else. It's just a whole weird energy about him. Es Vedras, I can't, all I can say about it is what I've read and what people have told me. I'm not a scientist or anything, but Es Vedra is the third most magnetical place on our planet. So you've got the North Pole, the South Pole, and then Es Vedra. And to me, that's just crazy, unbelievable, weird, fantastic, amazing, whatever words you want to put into it. And it's said that it's magnetic because it might be a plug of an ancient volcano. It's a volcano that was already there, but they've tested the actual rock, and it's not the same rock as Ibiza. So it is a separate rock of Ibiza, a separate stone, a separate material of Ibiza. And for some reason, it's very magnetic. And whenever I do a walk around there, I have a GPS thing I put on my wrist, and I walk around it, and it maps how far I've been and height, distance, and speed and everything. And whenever I do a walk around Es Vedra, I go home, load it onto my computer, I then overlay it on Google Earth, and every time the map goes crazy around on those walks. So, and I'm using satellites, I'm not using an old-fashioned compass, I'm using satellites, and it even messes up with the satellites. So there's something very strange about it. And people have been setting up their first homes there for 3,000 years. Some of the oldest ruins found on Ibiza are right in front of Es Vedra. So for some reason, for 3,000 years, again, people have been feeling it. They've been wanting to be near it. They've been worshipping it right up to when the hippies were here in the 60s and 70s. They were trying to swim out to it, and what they wanted to live on it and camp on it and everything like that. And so much so now it's been made a reserve, and you're not legally allowed on it. So who knows really what it's all about.
I mean, you're doing another walk at the end of the year around the island, and obviously that's inspired, I guess, by this trip that you made round the island with €1 in your back pocket. How is this going to differ from that particular walk?
So this has come about because after I did the walk around the island, I just got into life, and then that's how the walking started. People asking me to take them walking. And then people would say also, I want to walk around the island. And I'd say, well, take your backpack and off you go. But no one wants to do it alone, it seems. There are people that probably will do it alone, but generally people want to have a bit of support along the way and know roughly where they're going. They're not really ready for taking the whole risk and going on their own. So people kept asking me. So I thought, okay, maybe I should walk around the island again. And I was going to do it last year, but it didn't come together. So I put it out to do it this year to give people a bit more time. So I want to take a small group of people with me, which is just 8 people. So I'm taking 8 people with me, and we're going to walk around the coastline of Ibiza. But unfortunately, I don't think I can do it on €1, because not many restaurants rock up with 8 people and go, hey, feed us all for free. I don't think that's going to happen. So it's going to be fully supported. So people are going to have the food provided, the water provided, but you are going to have to carry your whole backpack with you. So you're going to have to carry each day between 10 and 15 kilos of weight. And it really will be, I'm hoping, and I think it will be, a real life-changing experience for people. You know, it changed my life when I walked around the island. And to have that amount of time disconnected from so-called normal society and normal life and job and family and phones and laptops, it really does change you. It will change people's lives. So I've got some amazing people coming on the walk from many different countries, so it's going to be an interesting mixture of people as well. Some interesting times will happen, I'm sure, along the way. But I'm really excited about it. It's going to be absolutely amazing.
Hi, my name is Vivienne and I'm from New Zealand and just currently moved to Ibiza, and today we went on the Atlantis walk. Wow, what an amazing, amazing place. Pretty hard going in some spots, fun going sliding down the sand, but those rocks were just incredible. Toby does these walks every 2 weeks and it's just one of the most wonderful ways to explore the island. You really connect with the nature and the gifts, and Toby gives you a little bit of history of everything that goes around, and just a thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyable day.
Fabulous, but quite demanding in parts, going up and down hills, and the scenery was beautiful. It was great being out in nature. You get to meet a lot of nice people, you know, varied from all over the world. It's well done. I think it is quite tough, that one, the Atlantis walk, but, you know, if you're a little fit, you can do it. So it was great. Highly recommend it.
What was your favourite part of the day?
When I finished. after I got up that last hill, it was a killer. And we all had an ice cream. That was delicious.
Toby has enlightened us a great deal on more of the history and pointed out some really beautiful things that we didn't notice before. Think, okay, right, this is the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. And then Toby takes you somewhere else. And you go, okay, no, this is the most beautiful thing. And then you go somewhere else.
So I'm still here hoping.